I don't know why people say there's so many homeless. I never see them. I've never seen a one of them. Maybe my guards could show me where they live. Hold on. Is that Seattle Spirit being injected into a microphone?
We have a lot of data, the way we get data and analyze data. What we do know from looking at the data is, the data is very clear.
Well, it's pretty clear the data shows that Seattle's now the, what was it, fourth worst city to drive through in the United States of America, one of the leading cities now for opioid problems, one of the highest property crime rates in the country. And don't come to me with the, our property crime rate's decreasing. No, it's not. What's decreasing is people reporting the property crime because they know the police aren't allowed to do anything. Because they know they're taxed to the gills having to deal with the mentally ill population of people who found their way to Seattle because they know they can live here scot-free. They know that they are favored citizens. They join the people with out-of-state rape warrants to live in our rape camps because they know what's going on. They know they can come here and disappear. So all of those things, that's some data for you, Jelly Durka. Spending more money than we've ever seen in history, far outstripping the rate of population growth by multiples, real multiples. So we've got that. That's some data for you, or data, like you like to say it that way. There were three assaults in Jelly Durka, Seattle, at the King County Courthouse. I said courthouse. And you know who runs things down there? Here's the big boss of King County, Smack Daddy Dow Constantine.
Since 2002, we've reduced the average daily population of young people in the juvenile system at the Youth Services Center from 212 to fewer than 50.
And here's his good buddy, Heroin Dan Satterberg.
Our incarceration rate in the state of Washington is among the 10 lowest in the United States.
So bragging about that. Well, it happens that according to the Seattle Times? No, Cairo 7. One guy named Ibrahimia Diallo of Des Moines attacked or assaulted three people in a single day in the courthouse. He body checked a defense attorney. He hit a female court clerk in the stomach and apparently attacked another person. Or assaulted another person. This, according to King County Sheriff's Office Sergeant Ryan Abbott, he was charged on this, or arrested. Probably he was arrested on this, and then he was released from jail without having to post bail because they said there wasn't probable cause. Three people said the same guy assaulted him. No, not probable cause to keep him. Thoughts, Heroin Dan?
Our incarceration rate in the state of Washington is among the 10 lowest in the United States.
Charges on two of the alleged, those are still pending. Our Jude 18 assaults are still pending. Meanwhile, oh yeah, all this happened on June 19. So there's some pending charges, but after he was released, weirdest thing happened. He's been arrested again. This time, on two unrelated assaults and a criminal charge. A judge who does not want to be named, a judge afraid to give his name or her name, said that multiple jail and law enforcement officers, court employees, jurors, lawyers, and an intern have all been assaulted, harassed, and spat on by multiple suspects in the past 6 months. Hey, Heroin Dan Satterberg, you're King County prosecutor. Hey, Republican Party, you backed this clown, this impotent, incompetent, corrupt clown for 12 years. And our show surfaced this because he recited it at a TEDx speech.
Our incarceration rate in the state of Washington is among the 10 lowest in the United States.
A woman spoke to King, or to Kyle 7. She said her own name, Alicia Damon. She says she absolutely does not feel safe at the courthouse. She said, I've seen people get stabbed, get shot, fight. Did you say you wanted some data, Jelly Durka? Listen, there's a leftist, another leftist running against Heroin Dan. Do not vote for Heroin Dan. It can't get worse. There's no way it can get worse. Do not vote for Heroin Dan Satterberg. Write someone in. How can it get worse? He already wants to let drug dealers carry more product on them. It's not enough that it's decriminalized. It can't get worse. Do not vote for Heroin Dan Satterberg. Can you believe that at the courthouse? So, Carmen Best is back in the running because a white guy dropped out. Now, that's the way it would be said if it was on the leftist media, right? And by the way, the cops love Carmen Best. I didn't know this. That's good enough for me. Seattle police, rank and file, they want Carmen Best. Make it Carmen Best. I've had a bunch of cops email me and say, you don't get it. Carmen's really great. She's in a tough spot. Being police chief is political. I've even had people tell me she's actually a tough cop. She's a good cop, and she's a cop's cop. That's all I need to know. Carmen Best it is. Let's have her be police chief. I mean, I'm a pragmatist. This is an insane left coast city. So let's have her be police chief. The cops love her. That's all I need to hear. So she was with King 5 News. They asked her actually some decently tough questions. Asked her about her relationship with Jelly Durka, since she was not even on the list until the community rose up and the cops rose up and this other guy dropped out.
What changed between you and Mayor Durkin?
Well, you know, let me just say this. I hold Mayor Durkin in high regard, and I'm just appreciative to have the opportunity to come back in and to really work and to show people that I'm the best qualified person to take on this job.
A lot of cops agree. Hey, you know, Chief Best, I differ with you on a lot of things. But if your people are backing you, I'll back you. I'd like to have someone who's going to enforce the law. I'd like to have someone who is going to make it a safe city again, because it's not one now. I just told you about the King County Courthouse. You can't be safe in a courthouse. Where are you going to be safe? Now, King 5 asked her about having a white superior officer. That's a weird question. You would never ask the reverse, ever.
Mayor Durkin is talking with one of the former finalists about joining her office as an advisor on police reform.
Are you concerned about the way this looks? If you are appointed police chief, a black woman chief will have a white male advisor overseeing things.
Again, I haven't delved into any of those issues about what the role will be of other people and what else is coming out of from the electeds.
Hey, you know what? It is insulting. Race aside, it is insulting. Cops here, backer. There's a lot more to get to. I don't even think we can do it. I think I'd get in trouble if I did it, because we got to get back to the Strzok thing. I cannot believe the arrogance I just heard from this man. Let me just tell you quickly the interview Dory had. He talked to a gentleman who's working in South Seattle. He owns a construction company. In order to prevent his tools from being stolen and more people getting into his honey buckets to commit acts of prostitution and to shoot up, etc., ad nauseum, he's living in an RV. He paid $1,500, as I recall, $1,500 to be able to park that RV there. Around him, there's a bunch of derelict RVs with people probably cooking up meth, shooting up heroin, sex trafficking. We know what goes on in a lot of these RVs, stealing power, etc. So this guy pays $1,500 for a special license to be able to camp there. He got ticketed. He went and knocked on the door of the derelict RV. Said, "Hey, anyone here get a ticket?" They said, "No, man, we're good." Sucks for you. Well, we'll try to get to the interview tomorrow. It's really good. We'll come back to the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH. I just heard peak arrogance from Peter Strzok. I think you'll agree.
Yeah,
Welcome back to the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH. Not exactly sure what's going on. Tom's experimenting a little bit with the bumper music. Let us know on Twitter, at Todd E. Herman, or a text message. Thumbs up or thumbs down. It's a bit of a change-up. That's good. We'll do that sometimes. Ah, there's so much. I'm drowning in stuff. We could do a six-hour show today. Listen to these pieces. Well, that's why you're here. That's sort of silly. After explaining his we'll prevent Trump from being elected text message, okay, after he explained it, tried to explain it, Peter Strzok then said, no, he doesn't talk that way. I don't remember writing it. Because he's on offense, baby. Strzok's on offense. Will not be intimidated. He doesn't remember writing it after he explained it.
I think it's important to take those texts in the context of how they were written and what they meant.
And someone may ask you that question, Agent Strzok, but I didn't. I asked you how many people you interviewed before you wrote it. If you want to get into context, let one of my other colleagues. What's the it?
Chairman Gotti.
We'll stop it.
Chairman Gotti, that text needs to be taken in the context.
Look, if you want to have a debate over a two-letter word, we're going to have to do that some other time. What and who did you mean by it?
Mr. Gotti, as I've stated, that text was written late at night in shorthand.
I don't care when it was written.
About.
I don't care it's whether it was longhand, cursive. I don't care about any of that.
Doesn't want to say what it is. Now, pay attention, because we're getting to one hell of an arrogant statement from a guy who apparently, according to the IG report, did not try to determine why Hillary Clinton wanted her server to be off network, did not try to figure out why Hillary Clinton wouldn't give them her emails from early in the period that she was at the State Department, did not try to figure out why Hillary had coached people into removing the classified markings from emails and then putting them on non-paper and sending, didn't try to do any of those things. Now, just keep with me here. So who tried to illegally or tried to set up a meeting to influence a judge, which should have been illegal. That didn't happen. Who took out an assurance policy against a president who lied about the source or the origin of the dossier, apparently. Okay, so all these things he did. All these things he did. This gets ugly. Louis Gohmert asked Strzok how many times he lied to his wife. As you recall, Strzok was having an extramarital affair with Lisa Page.
I've talked to FBI agents around the country. You've embarrassed them. You've embarrassed yourself. And I can't help but wonder, when I see you looking there with a little smirk, how many times did you look so innocent into your wife's eye and lie to her about Lisa?
Mr. Chairman, this is outrageous.
The credibility of a witness is always an issue.
It is absolutely a question of a pattern of credibility. Strzok lied about the dossier's origin. Strzok carried on an extramarital affair lying to his wife. Strzok tried to set up a meeting in conjunction with his adulterous bedmate, or maybe front seat of a car mate, etc. Tried to set up a surreptitious meeting, or with a surreptitious purpose. It was going to be a dinner meeting that the judge happened to attend, but Strzok and Page would convince him to go with them to get Trump, which is what Strzok said he wanted to do to stop Trump. And he is sitting in front of the Congress of the United States, and he's explaining that none of this affected his behavior. No one who is not hypnotized by the letter D can believe this. We're getting to the part that's a mind blower for me. Strzok really gets upset, saying, oh, okay, I'm unbiased. My texts were based on
the... That was written late at night, off the cuff, and it was in response to a series of events that included then-candidate Trump insulting the immigrant family of a fallen war hero. And my presumption, based on that horrible, disgusting behavior, that the American population would not elect somebody demonstrating that behavior to be president of the United States.
I failed to see in your text messages when you were upset of the Clintons' history of deriding and treating rudely and with disrespect and open disrespect their Secret Service agents. And don't tell me you don't know. I know because I had a friend who served there. One friend. Don't tell me that. Okay, you could be upset about what Trump said about the Gold Star family, which would mean you would be upset about the treatment of your colleagues in the Secret Service. So there's that. Then we get to this. Reminder. Lied about the origin of the dossier. Reminder. Tried to set up a dinner party to have the judge there to make it look like he was just one person at the dinner party to try to convince him to go his way. Reminder. Went through the Hillary Clinton investigation and changed the word gross negligence, phrase gross negligence, to extreme carelessness to let Hillary off what was clearly gross negligence. And we could continue, okay? Cheated on his wife with a work colleague through a period of, what, a year and a half? 9.5 text messages per day for 2.5 years? And then Strzok says this.
I am not lying. I have never lied under oath, and I never...
Okay, listen again. I'm not lying. And I haven't lied when?
I am not lying. I have never lied under oath.
Was he under oath at the FBI when he talked about the dossier? Was he under oath when he tried to invite that, or maybe invited the judge and the judge didn't go to that dinner meeting? Was he under oath then? Was he under oath when he changed gross negligence to extreme carelessness? There's more.
I am not lying. I have never lied under oath, and I never will. And so the insinuation, not even the insinuation, the direct comment that you somehow say you have an integrity issue is insulting. I take offense.
No, it's not. You have an integrity issue. Your entire investigation was garbage of Clinton. Your motive for Trump was clear. You don't need anything more than the code names of the investigations and your thrill that you were going to get to impeach Donald Trump. You don't have an integrity issue. You don't have integrity. Pete, if you did, you would have recused yourself. All right, we'll come back to the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH. A little bit of schadenfreude in a way. Watching the left once again all of a sudden argue with themselves because Trump says it.
Schadenfreude.
Trump says it and the world's ending. When Obama said it.
Schadenfreude.
It was all peace and light. Little Facebook note here from the guy, someone named Andre Wolf. You talking about integrity is laughable. Andre? Funny thing, you have no clue what you're talking about. You've never met me. I'm a voice on the radio. But thank you for adding to my wealth. Appreciate that. Appreciate the listen, Andre. And Andre, I know you kind of got a crush on me, Bobby. That's okay. We all get them. Your little thrill in your leg, you listen to the big voice. KTTH, probably feeling it now, ain't you?
Well, I've been quick to point
hypocrite song.
Things I find outrageous. Well, I wonder who I'll point at when I read my life on pages. When I played my final number, you know it really won't take long to realize I sang a hypocrite.
Is that what you needed to hear, Andre? Wow, you put the full version in, Tom? By the way, the phrase hypocrite, you know what it means, right? It means actor. You know, the first usage of that, to not mean actor, but to be used in the other sense, is biblical. It's Christ used that phrase, hypocrite. There was this theory I read in a book about Christ's life that that Joseph built a theater. And hence, those words were in the mind of the Lord. The hypocrite song open is because of this. You heard ABC News just freak. Lose their minds about Trump talking about this pipeline from Russia into Germany, bringing natural gas, because Germany got rid of their nuclear power. They got rid of a lot of their other power. They tried to go green, and shockingly, that didn't work. Shockingly, they couldn't power their country with that. Shockingly, it couldn't support their population. So instead of going back to oil, they've decided to go get natural gas from Russia. ABC, man, they're just flipping that Trump is going to blow up NATO because he went after Germany for enriching Russia.
Well, this NATO summit is sure off to a rocky start. You know, American presidents for decades have had plenty of problems with European allies. But judging from this morning, President Trump is already taking that to a whole new level.
Okay, so Trump was saying, we're paying much more for NATO than you are. You guys aren't keeping up what you said you would keep up. That needs to change. We're carrying NATO, but you're giving money to Russia for natural gas. That's a bad decision from a national security perspective. If 80% of your energy is coming from Russia, you're dependent upon Russia. And if it's pipelines, how are you going to get rid of them? Shepard Smith on Fox News took a similar tone.
President Trump upended world order in a way no American president has in modern history. He attacked our closest allies. He berated them and insulted them.
Okay, he said it in a Trumpian way. Berating and insulting? No. The president can do that sometime. He didn't. He said it's a bad idea. He said you're controlled by Russia. Look, if your energy, 70-80% of your energy is coming from Russia, guess who you're controlled by? That'd be Russia. So, the Hypocrite song, why do we play that? Because we're going to go back in history. Newsbusters put this together. It's very smart media. Newsbusters.org. Here we have John Kerry talking about the same pipeline deal that the president has told Germany is a bad idea. He said it in Trumpian ways. John Kerry said it in the way that he speaks, which is, if you listen, it's weird because he married a lady who is rich because of her dad's ketchup empire. If you listen, when John Kerry speaks, it sounds a lot like you open the lid to ketchup and pour it out.
One other specific issue of deep concern to me and to everybody here, and I think that's the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. This project has provoked a very heated debate on both sides of the Atlantic. And we are convinced would absolutely have an adverse impact on Ukraine, on Slovakia, and Eastern Europe. And we cannot lose sight of that.
Okay, so there's John Kerry in the ketchup coming out of the bottle sort of way of speaking, saying the same thing, but he said it nice. Well, I would say that he said it in a way of lecturing. I would say he said it looking down his nose at Europe, because they're too stupid. Okay, so I could say it is a lecturing tone, it's a paternal tone, it's a condescending tone. Trump's was direct. You know what? I'd prefer direct and rude over condescending any day. Any day. Joe Biden, what do you think of that deal, Joe? Nobody messing with Joe.
No country should be able to use energy as a weapon. No country should be able to use energy to coerce policies from other nations or actions. And speaking for ourselves, speaking for the United States, Nord Stream 2 pipeline, we think, is a fundamentally bad deal for Europe.
Now, despite the fact, sound like Joe was a little bit low on his HGH injection for the day. Same thing. No one in the media sounded the alarm. Yes, I know presentation matters. Yes, I understand being politique. But this is just part and parcel of the continuing syndrome of the media taking more seriously Trump saying things than Obama doing things. In this case, it's just word for word. This media saying NATO's going to blow up is the same media who won't talk about Barack Obama allowing the Taliban to continue to ship opioids into the United States of America, making $300 million a year, which they used to kill 2,000 American troops. and Obama allowed that to happen, specifically allowed it to continue because it was a peace offering to the Taliban. Same President Obama who allowed Hezbollah in partnership with Iran to work with narco-terrorists from south of the border to bring heroin and cocaine into our country. He let that one go because he wanted to deal with Iran. But dear God in heaven, the president was direct and wasn't particularly politique when he spoke to Angela Merkel at the NATO discussion. And that means NATO's going to blow up. The media continues. They're the dead media. Now, somehow, miraculously maybe, they're reaching up a dead hand and they are hammering more nails into their coffin. That's quite a feat. If you're dead in a coffin or your reputation is dead in a coffin and your reputation is reaching around the coffin and pounding nails up in here saying, keep us in here. Never let us resurrect our reputation. Oh, yeah, I could talk about this for a long time. We'll wrap up the day with a personal note on the Todd Herman Show.
Down on Main Street.
Welcome back to the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH and on the Greater East Side, 94.5 FM. You folks who listen on the podcast, can you tell others to do that? I hear rants all the time asking for this. If you listen to the podcast, can you leave a rating? And if you think we're worth 5 stars, make it 5 stars. If you think we're worth 4, make it 4. I want you to be honest. I mean, but if you make it 5 stars, then the Todd Herman Show has an opportunity to rise up and force down some liberal programs, even over there on Apple. If you don't have the podcast yet, just text the word podcast to 877 or 800-465-8770. 800-465-8770. Thanks to Greg Nunn, Nunn Better Tax Resolution, for paying for the text line. Now, on a personal note tonight, it's the funniest thing, sitting there prepping for the show and find myself wiping away tears, right? It just hit me. It's one of the clickbait things I fell into. Story of a gentleman, 101 years old.
I'm 101 years old.
And proud of it, says Bill Notnaris. The Walker resident was seen cruising around Big Whitefish Lake this 4th of July on a jet ski.
I loved it out there. Oh, yeah. I just pushed the old button and away we went.
How does it make you feel when you're on a jet ski?
Alive.
Alive. Makes him feel alive. He's 101 years old, and he's out on a cold lake in Michigan, and he is jet skiing. So how does this get me from slurping down my third cup of coffee? And by the way, stop making fun of me for drinking a lot of coffee, okay? It's maybe my one nutritional vice is coffee. It is because it took me straight to a memory of my grandma on my father's side. Now, she was not my biological grandma. That didn't matter much. I never got to meet my biological grandma. But my grandma, who we called Nikki, wasn't her real name, but we called her Nikki. Nikki was a woman who never gave in to age. And you speak of feeling alive. First of all, begins with seeing these pictures of she and my grandpa on these cruise ships. My grandpa, you know, I've told you about him. He didn't graduate 8th grade. He'd hate that I told you that, by the way. So he'd want me also to tell you that he lived his life debt-free, that he put his kids through college, every single one of them through college. A couple of his kids have master's degrees. He'd want you to know this. So I'm duty-bound to tell you. He also was on the board of a bank and on an energy company grandpa helped start. He'd want you to know those things, right? But he didn't graduate 8th grade. My grandma, she, in the pictures in these cruise ships, always dressed to the nines, always with a smile on her face, and she wouldn't mind me telling you, always with a drink in her hand, because she liked to have a little bit of a drink when she went dancing. She was always a lovely woman. I was even aware of that as a kid. She didn't come up that way. In fact, grandma raised her son. For a portion of the time she raised her son, after her first husband died, she raised her son in a jail cell. No, I'm not kidding. The sheriff of her small town took pity on this woman who was suddenly faced with raising her son alone, allowed them to sleep at night in the jail cell unless there was a customer. That's what the sheriff used to call the inmates, customers. So Grandma Nikki came from that background, also the background of the small town where she, a non-Native American, grew up partly on an Indian reservation in Montana. So she had seen poverty. She had seen racism. She had spent nights in jail cells. She put herself through school from that jail cell, partially, and she became a nurse, and a great one. But it was that word alive the gentleman spoke of, being on the jet ski alive. There were the cruise ship photos of my grandma. There was the fishing photos. Oh, she loved to fish. There's a picture I have of a, got to be 70, 72, 73-year-old woman standing on the rocks in the Columbia River with a huge grin on her face, casting for salmon. And by the way, this is no lie, she outfished everybody. I don't think anyone ever beat her in the number of fish or the size of fish. I don't think it ever happened. In that way, she was fearless. Her friends would tell her, Nikki, you're going to fall. Nikki, the river's going to get you. Never mind. I remember a gray-haired grandma getting into her old-fashioned swimsuit, putting on the things that women used to put on their hair so their hair wouldn't get wet, that had fake flowers on it, this pink shower cap, I guess it was, getting into the water, warming up to the water, then getting on the deck at the age she had to be in her 60s, and she would water ski. And she would, when I was young, she would jump off the water jump off the deck into the water just as the rope became taut. She got older. She started floating in the water and lifted herself up. There went the ski. She'd come around, dump it. Now my grandma is slalom skiing and all around. I'd sit there and I'd hear her friends because they lived next door to us at the lake. One day, Art, she'd say to my grandpa, one day she's going to fall and break her neck. She'd come off from the skiing and, you've got to stop that and act your age. She'd laugh at him. When I became older and was wrestling and playing football, one of this woman who loved to be alive, one of her great thrills was to sit Indian style on my back with a drink in her hand and see how many push-ups I could do with her up there. She also celebrated her birthdays by getting up on a parasail every year till the year she died. She celebrated her birthday by going up on a parasail, and she loved the view. She wanted to parachute. She never got to do that. And people told her, Nikki, one day you're going to fall and you're going to break your neck. Or I read that someone crashed into the side of a hotel in Mexico. I read that. And all these years doing these things, caring for my grandpa, caring for him, making him eat well, making him try to sustain his life and live his life. And this fearless woman trying to push my grandpa up to stay healthy. My grandpa aged and it became clear he wasn't going to last very long. And my grandma stopped doing some of those things, not because she was afraid, but because grandma concentrated on trying to keep grandpa alive. When grandpa finally died, the craziest thing happened. This woman who was fearless, she never lost that fear. Yep, she still parasailed, still went fishing. But 2 weeks or so after my grandpa died, this vital woman, always feeling alive, stepped out of the shower, fell, became unconscious, and she died. For years, I've pondered this because I've imagined my grandpa from hopefully in heaven calling to her, I'm lonely. Where are you? We have dancing to do. There's cruises up here. But I also realized there was one thing that woman feared. Wasn't poverty. Wasn't guns. Wasn't getting hurt in the river, getting swept away by the Columbia River. Wasn't smashing into the side of a hotel while she was parasailing. Wasn't any of those things. It was being without that man. It's the only thing she feared. So, the fear was gone. That's why I fell into tears prepping for the show. This is the Todd Herman Show. We air every weekday, 3 to 6 p.m. I'll see you tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Be well, be strong, and be kind.